morning, church. Good morning, Reverend. He talking about we were working together. My back ain't been the same since. He say, he a lot older than me, so I was looking at the fact. I say, if he ain't going to quit, I ain't going to. I can't quit, and he way older than me. So he just kept on going and going. I wanted to stop, but just for the record, I wasn't finna let him outdo me.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, but if it was up to Reverend Price, we'd have still been working right now.
Yeah. You know?
But I thank God for the opportunity. It's always a blessing to stand before everybody. I'm not going to be long. You know, I'm not. We got to get back to the high football on. That ain't the reason. I'm messing with y'all. I'm just saying who paying attention. All right. But I got a word. I got a word. I'm Amen. Not going to keep you standing long. It's a song that people sang. It's a good song. It say, whatever you do in this season, don't do it without me. Yeah, and I was thinking about that song the other day, and I can't sing worth the lick. Y'all know that. But I can sing to myself.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not always about the voice you have. It's about the heart to meditate.
Amen.
You know, and I was meditating about that song, and God had touched my spirit about a lot of things going on today. It's a lot. There's so much going on. There's so much infiltration.
Yeah.
It's a lot of infiltration, and it's right in our face.
Yeah.
And if you're not equipped, and if you don't have that relationship with God, you won't even be able to see it.
Mm.
You'll be fooled by it because it sounds so good. We're going to get into some of that, though. We're going to get into some of that. We're going to dig today.
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to dig. But just for a moment, I'm going to read two out of two books, the book of Exodus, chapter 3, starting at verse 12.
Exodus 3?
Yes, sir. Okay. Starting at verse 12. Yeah, that's a lot of reverb. Verse 12. Everybody there? Need more time? All right. And it reads, and he said, certainly I will be with thee and shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to hold that thought. And then we're going to go. Now we're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, starting at verse 13. Everybody got it?
Amen.
And it reads, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed unto thee, revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now we're going to talk about, the title is Making It Personal.
Yeah,
Making It Personal. Making It Personal. It's a guy by the name of Bill Wilson, Dr. Bill Wilson. Some people may be familiar with him. Some people may not have. But I'm going to give you a little insight on Bill Wilson. Bill Wilson was a drunk. He was an alcoholic.
Okay.
He had a bad problem with drinking and to the point to where drinking had changed his whole entire life.
Yeah.
So he didn't know what to do about it. There was no program to recognize addicts or alcoholics as it being a person who's sick or with an illness as they do today. Today they recognize addicts and people with a drug addiction or mental addiction. It was past that they are sick. He made it to where they are sick. So he came up with a 12-step program. Bill Wilson came up with the 12-step program, and they called the book, as thick as this Bible, and they call it the Big Book.
Yeah.
It's called the Big Book because it enabled people who had addiction and drug problems and everything else that was going on in their lives. It enabled them to be able to seek help and research, and that's where the 12 steps of Alcoholic Anonymous come from.
Amen.
The AA is Bill Wilson. And one of the steps that Bill Wilson said, and people live by this today, is that in one of the 12 steps, it say, came to recognize that a power greater than myself can restore me into back to sanity. Okay, don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. And the reason why, he say, came to recognize that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Now, looking at it from a logical point of view, we would say, okay, that makes sense. He's talking about God. But in the book of 12 steps, if you go further in the book, when he got with his comrade, the little guy that was with him, that was helping him write the book, they actually initiated in the book the fact that they don't care who the power greater than yourself is. They say it can be a light bulb. They say it can be these flowers. Whatever the power greater than yourself is, they allow you to push that off. And then when you go to the meetings, they say the little quotes, they make it sound great, and I don't have nothing against people that go there. It worked for who it worked for. Because they even got a slogan, they say, it works if you work it.
Yeah.
And people, they will die by that. You know what I mean? It works if you work it. It's just like the Bible. You see what I'm saying? But came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me back to sanity. As great as it sound, it sound motivational. I could sit there and inspire you based on stuff about life and a lot like a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. We was talking about it earlier. Somebody made the point of saying when two or more is gathered in my name, I'm in the midst.
Yeah.
It's 50 people in the club right now gathered.
Go ahead, Reverend.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's 50,000 people at the football game that's gathered.
Yep. Amen.
See, I'm gonna give you some game. See, the devil don't care who gathered. If it's not effective. See, when you read the Bible say the effective, fervent prayer of the right avail it much. So the devil don't care about you gathering. We can leave out of here and have a gathering at Luby's. And the devil ain't mad about it. The devil, he ain't mad about it. But when God starts to move, that's when it becomes a problem. See, when God is present, the anointing is present.
Amen.
Yeah, the anointing is present. So as long as two people are gathered and you just gathered. But once the anointing is present, that's when things start changing. And that's when it becomes a problem. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to make it personal for myself. In the penitentiary, we got this thing called when you're eating a soup, you're eating some noodles. It's a bowl. They sell you a little white bowl by $5, a little bitty bowl. Little bowl of noodles. We make the noodles. We put it in there, just one bowl of noodles. And they say, man, what you eating? Because normally you get a big spread. Sometimes you get enough money, you get the Jack Mac. You can mix it with roast beef, barbecue sauce, jalapeno, pickle. Yeah, you get the whole spread. Hey, yeah, you get it going down when you got a lot of money. You know, every now and then, you go to that commissary window, they slide your car. Your car get light when you ain't got no money on it. They slide it. And then they get to making jokes about it. Everybody's standing in the line behind you. So you go back to the dorm or to your cell or whatever, and you see somebody eating the soup, or maybe you have to make a personal. Because sometimes you eating the soup, it's just one bowl, you're looking at everybody spread, hey, what you eating? I'm eating a personal. You see what I'm saying? A personal is that when it's just one soup, you ain't able to put the works to it. You know what I mean? You can't hide a Jack, man. And I'm gonna make it plain for you. Sometimes we have to get personal. See, we want to worship God when everything is going good. You see what I'm saying? When we can put the Jack Mac and the tuna and all this, we can mix up the pickles and everything is good in our life. But then when it come to getting personal, that stomach get to touching your back, you're going to baby that soup. Yeah. See, we got to get personal. And then the Bible, I'm going to make it, I'm going to articulate it to where it's going to be real plain for everybody. In the book of John, book of John, chapter 8, Jesus was addressing, as they called it, the Sanhedrin back then. But they began, it say in the Bible, you can go back and read it, John chapter 8, just read the chapter. It say that they went and they questioned Jesus about how he teach and preach with such authority.
Yeah.
And then Jesus looked at them and he told them, before it was Abraham, it was I am. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Then you go in the book of Exodus, he talking about I am. And then in the book of Matthew, he asking a question. He say, who do men say that I am? See, he was asking, at this time, when this was going on, Jesus had just broke bread. He took all the bread and fed all the people. Then they came back to the other side, and Jesus said, y'all come over here. I'm going to gather y'all to myself. Jesus gathered them to himself. So when he gathered them to himself, Jesus began to say a parable. He talked about the leaven and the unleavened bread. So they wondered, the disciples, they say, well, is he mad at us because we hadn't eaten no bread? And they remembered, they didn't even know they was hungry. Yeah, until they got to the other side. See, Jesus was with them. He was in the midst of them. And then they finally turned around and realized that we didn't take bread. Okay. So Jesus started giving them the game. He said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, beware of the leaven or the unleavened bread. He began to talk about the Pharisee, the hypocrisy, how they was putting things right there in their face. And they wasn't even aware of what was going on. And then they began to ask questions and say they wondered amongst themselves. You see what I'm saying? They wondered amongst themselves. So Jesus say, I'm going to personalize it. Yeah, he personalized it. He was like, is it because we didn't eat bread? He wasn't worried about them not eating bread because they just seen what he was doing. They just walked across water. They seen him walk across the water on the ship. They seen him feed the people. He did it twice.
Yeah.
If anybody read the Bible, you know he did it twice. They was right there the whole time. So Jesus asked the people that was following him the whole time, who do men say that I am? It can be the people right next to you. And they answer Jesus. He say, some say. Yeah, they were saying, some people say you lie. Some people say this. Yeah, some people say that. But he asked Peter. He singled out Peter.
Come on.
Why did he single out Peter? I can tell you why. Because it was a personal thing going on. All of them was right there. All of them obtained favor with God. Because God is Jesus. I believe that Jesus is God. So some people may not, but I believe that. But God had to have a personal conversation with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because things that was going to happen to Peter was totally different that as to what was going to happen to the other disciples. See, you can be in church, and then favor is not always fair.
Come on.
Yeah, favor is always fair. You can be in church, and you can come in here and shout, jump, hoop, holler, all you want. But when you get out of these doors, if you're not moving within your faith. See, God wants us to move. There's some things that we have to do personally. See, there's situations that the pastor can't pray you out of. I can't pray you out of.
Yeah.
No minister can pray you out. There's some things that you're going to have to go through personally. And that was one of the things. Jesus knew what Peter was going to go through.
Yeah.
So Jesus made it personal. He say, but who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
And he say, you the Son of Man. He say, the Son of the living God. He say, flesh and blood couldn't reveal that to you.
Yeah.
See, now, I'm going to jump back. We're going to hold that thought. I'm going to jump back to the 12 step. Bill Wilson, the big book. That's what they called it. So this is thinking logically. Dr. Bill Wilson wrote this book, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me back to sanity. You know, you could say that up from this pulpit, and if don't nobody know what I'm talking about, they get the hooping and hollering because it sounds so good. You know what I mean? But when Jesus exposes some things, there's some things that need to be exposed. You see what I'm saying? Because they're putting it in our face. But why do you know this, Mr. Drum Group? Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to me.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? As good as the big book sound and as good as the Alcoholic Anonymous, the thing, it's a beautiful thing for those that believe it. But I believe personally that God is the only person and the only way that you're going to overcome any addiction, whether it's whatever it may be. Now, Don't get me wrong. Don't say, well, he against psychiatrists and doctors. No, God put people in place for a reason. You see what I'm saying? So it's good to seek help. And I always talk about it, man, when I used to get high. I was a trip. You know, I was a trip. And she laughed. Yeah, I was a trip. But God will deliver you, because I was sitting at the park. I ain't have 10 cents in my pocket. I was broke. I had spent all my money on blow. Yeah, I spent all my money. I did. That was dumb, because I ain't had no gas. But no, I'm serious. I didn't have no gas. But I spent my money. Yeah, I spent my money on blow. It was either any logical person would just fill up your tank and go home. And God is my witness. I didn't want to go home. I wanted to get high.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I sat there. And my car was parked, and I sat in the park. And, you know, they call it the gazebo thingy, the little wooden thing. And I sat there, and I was looking up at the stars, and I was loaded. And then I realized that everybody that was around me when I was getting loaded, they was gone. They went home. They had sense. They went home. Yeah, they went home to their family, wife, girlfriend, whatever it was. And I sat there by myself, and I began to look up at the stars. At least I hope they were stars, because I was lit. Yeah, but I begin. I'm serious. Y'all laughing. I'm going somewhere with this. I sat up and I looked and I began to pray. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the midst of that, I began to pray, because I knew where I was. Uh-huh. I know God had showed me some things. He had brought me to a certain place in my life where I felt like I was above that. You see what I'm saying? I felt like I was above that. So it wasn't as personal to me then when I was doing good as it was that night. See, that particular night, I was laying up, looking up, after I say, God, remember me. I say, it's me. I'm pleading with God that it's me. This ain't the situation I wanted to be in, but this is where I am. Yeah. See, God didn't say, well, get yourself clean first, then get your nice suit or go. God say, come like you are. I say, it's me. Yeah, I didn't have to go. And get the go find a tailor to send me a suit, or go get. I wasn't even clean shaven or nothing. I was looking bad. Probably hadn't bathed in a few days. I mean, that's the lifestyle of it. See, I can get up here and act like everything is all right and everything, but it hasn't. See, I operate on grace. See, the places that God brought me from, a person probably wouldn't even survive there. You see what I'm saying? So when I talk about making it personal. See, this thing is so personal to me, because I don't want to go back.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't want to look back. See, I was talking to somebody, and they was telling me about their problems. Woe is me. I'm going through this. I say, do you got a place to stay? Well, yeah, I got a place to stay, but the rent is this. Do you have food? Do you have a vehicle? You got a job? I say, and I explain to them, people are praying to be where you are. So when you thinking about your problems and the things that you got going on and the woe is me and I'm going through this and I'm going through so much, think about somebody that's praying to be where you are. That's why what God wants us to do, when we personalize it and we get that relationship with God, God wants us to work with what we got. See, when God picked the disciples, he didn't go to the doctors, the lawyers. He didn't go get the judges, the politicians. He went and got some of the worst people. You know, the worst people ever. Yeah. God, and I'm going to tell you the way he moved, what's so good about it to me is that I remember in the Bible was talking about a man that was on the donkey, and he began to kick the donkey. The donkey seen the angel. He didn't see the angel. God could have just turned around and did what he wanted to do. The angel was going to kill him. It's in the Bible. And the donkey turned around and started talking. So if God can use a donkey, if he can use a donkey to save a man's life, how come he can't use you? Yeah, he can use a donkey to save a man's life. How come he can't use you? See, we get down on ourselves because we don't make it personal. See, a person can say, well, I don't go to church because I'm not ready to go to church because they be talking all that stuff, and then you should see what such and such got on them. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Yeah, such and such. I don't like the way they sang the solo. And then I only got two solos the other day. I mean, it's crazy. And then, but a person sit there and you go through all of that kind of stuff. to say that you just don't want to go to church. Yeah. I had a headache this morning. I had a headache, bad headache. And I sat there and I started watching Sports Center. Then I'm waiting on Keisha to get ready. My wife, I say, yeah, he's like, no. Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. God is good. But when she get ready, she be ready. I'm going to just say that. But I was thinking of reasons in my mind. I say, well, I know I got to preach, but my head kind of hurting. I say, well, maybe it's raining. We just go to HEB and get something to cook. And I begin to think of 50 different reasons to not be here today. You something? I'm serious. But God always got a plan. And I was thinking about it. I say, God, when everything was going good and everything was, you know, through the good times, the bad times, I say, I'm a praise you. And then all of a sudden, you know, things is looking kind of up. Man, I got a headache. You see what I'm saying? So when I get up here, I'm talking to me first. You see what I'm saying? Whatever you get out of it, God is good. You get that out of it. But if you don't make this thing personal, if you don't make it personal, that's why he say flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, because there's so many things that's going on in this world today that's an infiltration of the Christian church. Yeah. It's an infiltration of your faith. See, if I came up to you, Deacon Wade, and said, hey, you're going to manifest this, I'm going to manifest this in your life. And then I'm whispering with it. I got the TV with it. I'm going to manifest it in your life. Then Jarrell on the organ, they playing it, and I'm doing the right gestures. And God ain't said nothing about that. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, and they turned it into theatrics, thinking that it's going to work. Don't nothing work. You cannot operate in the realm of God without the anointing. In order to understand the anointing, it's your faith. That's going to create the operation. That's going to create the movement. The faith allows you to speak. When the Bible tells you what faith is, it allows you to speak. Once you speak those things into existence, just because I say, Deacon Wade, you're going to get $50. No, it's going to be spoken in the will. That's why flesh and blood is not going to reveal the things of God to you. The only way you're going to do that is to walk in the will of God. So it's a difference. And then those things that you profess and you believe in your heart, they can come to fruition if it's in the will. Not because you say, I want to hit the lottery. I manifest I'm going to hit the lottery, pal. I do. I mean, he laughing. I really do. But it's not going to work. That's not the way it works. God, give me the $1 million. I'll probably go get high again. I ain't ready for it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, I ain't ready for it. But the thing is being able to have that personal relationship with God. See, I can get up here and talk about where I came from, me personally, and the things, because I'm not ashamed of it. You see what I'm saying? Had I not had those moments, I wouldn't be standing here right now. You see what I'm saying? So it's things that God wants you to go through. Why do you think that God, he personally spoke to Peter? Yeah, everything that was going on around him, he had all the disciples there, but he personalized it to Peter. Because God allows us all that we go through whatever we go through, but he have a path. And then he say, he going to build his church on that, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So it's some things that's going on in our lives. There's some things that's going to go on, but you got to have a personal relationship with God to know that the gates of hell, they won't prevail. See, things, people look at the thing like now, like looking at the situation as though like it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. I remember the flood. The hurricane, lost the whole house. Man, I came in the house, the walls, you can look through the walls, and you go upstairs, there's no walls upstairs, no ceiling. I mean, it was bad. You look in the kitchen, grass growing, where they done took all the walls out, and I was looking at it. Then I say, man, ain't no way they gonna fix this. And then I told my wife, I say, well, we probably could sell it and get more money because the property value is higher. Yeah. She say, we ain't selling it. We gonna wait on them to fix it. I said, okay. And as time went by, I began to see the progress. I began to see the progress. Then they put the walls up. It was a whole lot of things that came with that. But in life, we look at things as though it's the end of the world. Okay. Somebody going through something worse, but we look at it as though it's the end of the world. But if you don't have that personal relationship with God, it's going to be hard for you to move to the next level. Yeah. It's going to be hard for you to persevere. I mean, I know y'all looking at, or maybe used to hearing the hooping and holler. I'm not a hooper and a holler because I can't sing. Like, I don't have that voice to change octaves like the preachers do. You know what I'm talking about? I don't have that. So all I can do is talk, you know. Yeah, God is going, he going to allow the point to get across, though. But I wish I could do that. And you know, all that. I do. I wish I could. I mean, I wish I could. I can't. But all I know is the word of God is going to stand. So I can tell it to you. It's plain and simple. It's just plain and simple. But God wants somebody to know today that if you don't personalize your relationship, you can profess it and you can act like you know it. But if it's no anointing, you haven't made it personal to where God is, don't live inside of you, then it's nothing that you're going to do is going to prosper. You see what I'm saying? Because the thing is, like, a lot of people want to look the part. Looking the part is not enough. It's not enough. We got a lot of infiltration going on. Like I say, it's a lot of people out there that's making a mockery out of what we believe in. It's a lot of people out there that's, I mean, one person told me at work, and that's why I was thinking about making it personal. One person at work, he say, he a Catholic, and he asked me, he say, why you praying? You read the Bible? Because another guy was like, I know he know the Bible. I was like, yeah. He say, why do you pray and read the Bible? I say, because I believe in God. He say, I say, why you pray to the Virgin Mary? He say, why you park that forklift on the side? I say, because D told me to. He say, all right then, the reason why I pray to the Virgin Mary is the same reason that D told you to park. I say, why? He say, because they told me to. So he believed that he prayed because they told him to. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? We got to get out of that mindset. Just because a person told me to, it don't have no bearings on my personal relationship with God. Your personal relationship, because your grandmother will tell you, my granny put stuff together in the Bible. She probably can write her own. Yeah, I'm serious. She put stuff, quotes and stuff in the Bible. If you take one step, the Bible say he take two. It don't say that in there. No, it sounds good. I mean, it sounds good, but anybody can find it, I'll give them $100 if you can find it. No, I will right now. If anybody can find it, pull it up on the phone and you show it to me, I got $100. Because it doesn't say that. And people tell us so many things, but until you get a personal relationship with God, you're not going to know how to operate in the spiritual realm. Because there's some things that God have to show you, but he's waiting on you to learn how to operate. You see what I'm saying? If you can't operate, you can't move. If you can't move, the devil ain't worried about you. That's why when they talk about two or more, you can be two, three, four gathered. The devil ain't even concerned. But you let somebody that know, that can operate, you know, then he got something to worry about. You see what I'm saying? Then he got something to worry about. So you don't want to put yourself in a position to, we watch TV on church, some of them evangelists, I don't knock them, I don't really care. But you have to get in there for yourself, because a lot of people will tell you what you want to hear or what they think could put more money in that plate. You see what I'm saying? That's more important than a person's soul to them. That's more important than their salvation. Some churches you go to, they don't even invite you to come and get saved and give your life or make an open confession.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You never not have enough time to do that. But some places you go to in the church, you know, if the church is not even holy no more. Yeah, they made it to where it's like that, though, because we allow that to happen. Think about something. When Moses was on the mound and he was talking to God, he walked up and God told him, man, you better take your sandals off. He said, take your sandals off. He said, the place that you stand in is holy ground. We don't even have no reverence for holy ground no more. I mean, think about that. We can't even reverence holy ground no more. Ask yourself the question, where do people have to take their shoes off around you? When you at work,
come on.
As you at work, do people know that you in the Bible? Do people know that you say at work? You see, or you let them come around you with their shoes on. You see what I'm saying? What do people reverence about you? It's not about reverencing you, But your personal relationship with God should allow people around you to see what's acceptable and what's not, you know, what's unacceptable. You see, that's why it's so important to have that personal relationship. So when Peter began to profess that, Jesus, he paused, and I'm paraphrasing, he paused and looked. He say, boy, you know what I'm saying? Because all the things that he been teaching these jokers, this is something that finally stuck. It's like when I tell my son something, I tell him over and over. That boy, that man. And I tell him over and over and over again. And I was teaching him how to fix a radiator hose. And he was like, well, I probably can't do it. I say, son, you can do it. Just try to do it. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you how you going to do it. I say, I know exactly what's wrong with the car. He asked me, well, how you know? I say, because I'm looking at it. Like, I'm not a mechanic, but I know my way around. I know how to keep on driving if I have to. So I suggest you listen to me. You know what I mean? And then I was thinking about that same scenario. God tell us the same thing. Listen to me.
Listen to me.
And I'm sitting there questioning it. Well, God, why is this happening? Why is this going on? And God just say, listen to me. Yeah, my son, I'm telling him, I know that I know what I'm talking about. And I had to tell him, just listen to me. This is how, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So if you don't have a personal relationship with God, today would be the day to do it.
Amen.
If you can't
operate
in the way that you're going to be effective, like your fervent and effective prayer, it's a righteous. So it's a difference. So you can't factor nothing out. It's the Bible. It's a difference. So if you want to know how to operate and you want to be effective in your anointing or in your calling, develop a personal relationship with God. It's going to take time. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take downfall. It's going to be times you think God ain't even listening. There's going to be times where you got to be by yourself. You're not going to have no organ player, no drummer. You're not going to have no crowd of people. You're not going to have nobody patting you on the back. Yeah. It's just going to be you and God. That's when it get hard. And that's when it's going to get hard. That's when you have to lean not on your own understanding. You see what I'm saying? They say, in all your ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. So you got to acknowledge God. And that's the only way. There's no other way. I don't care about the big book, what they say in the Quran, and they even reference the Quran. If you notice, that's Abrahamic law, and that's a whole other thing. We'll get into that another time when I get back, you know. But we'll get into it another time. That's a whole other thing. But it sounds so smooth. It sounds smooth. And then they tell you you can have 12 women. I mean, some people be like, man, and then you got to think about, like, just your wife by herself, how much you be going. Like, man, you know what I'm saying? It's like, she looking at me crazy. I'm going to sit down. But I love y'all. Stay prayed up. And the next time I'm here, we'll delve into that if God say the same. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."